You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Monday, December 17th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. The Jets played Saturday afternoon at the Meadowlands against the Houston Texans. You know, I was thinking about it, and I think this is probably the first time the Jets had a Saturday afternoon game since Rex Ryan's first year when they played a wild card game, a playoff game in Cincinnati. They've played a couple Saturday night games since then. But I think you have to go back 9 years to find the last time the Jets played on a Saturday afternoon. And they fell to the Houston Texans 29-22. It's their 10th loss of the season. The Jets lost an opportunity to put together a two-game winning streak. And, you know, I have to tell you, I was really into this game. It's really been a couple of months since I've really been into a Jets game the way I was on Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, I was really pumped when they scored that touchdown in the fourth quarter to take the lead. And, you know, it seemed like things might work out for them. And then, of course, you know, they weren't able to finish the game. So they lose game number 10 this season. But I think, you know, to any objective observer, this game had a very different feel from the other losses. I think that this game left you with a much more positive feeling because of the play of Sam Darnold. And it was, I would say, pretty clearly one of his top two games of the season. I think you could go back and forth as to whether this was better than the game against the Colts. I think you could make a case either way, but really a stellar performance by Sam, which is what you're looking for. You know, I think over the last quarter of the season when he returned to the lineup last week in Buffalo for these final four games, you knew this season was already lost for the Jets. So really, I think what you were hoping for is to head into the off season on a positive note, a note where you feel like this quarterback's growing, where you feel like this quarterback is really building something, heading into his first offseason program with momentum and really building something for the future. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I kind of felt like, given the injuries the Jets had, given the caliber of this week's opponent, that Buffalo comeback might have been the acorns we need to store for a long winter in terms of just positive feelings we had for Sam. Instead, he went out there and really played a great game. And, you know, this season, we talked before the season plenty over the summer, last spring, about how this year was going to be not so much about wins and losses. It was going to be about Sam Darnold's development. And I think in a lot of ways, the Jets have kind of failed their rookie quarterback this year. But Saturday's game shows you what could be to come in the future. You know, you can't expect him to do that every single week, and he hasn't done it every single week this year. That's just not realistic to expect out of a rookie. But when he shows that that's the type of thing he's capable of, that performance is the type of thing he's capable of, that's very exciting. When he shows he can do it from time to time, that's exciting, because as the years go by, as the game starts to slow down for him, these are the types of things that we'll start to see more frequently. You know, as he learns which risks he can take and which ones he can't. He's got a little gunslinger to him. He's got this playmaker quality to him where he takes chances. You know, he'll roll the dice trying to make plays, try and force things when plays aren't there. And as he gets more experience in the league, he'll figure out how to better calculate which gambles he should take and which ones he shouldn't. You know, an example of a gamble he should take was the throw to Robbie Anderson a week ago in Buffalo on the last drive that set the Jets up on the 8-yard line, where Anderson wasn't really open, but he was in one-on-one coverage on the outside. He could throw the ball outside the numbers, you know, take a shot on a deep pass. That's the type of gamble he should take. You know, there were a few gambles he should not have taken in this game. But overall, I mean, I think you have to be thrilled with what you saw from Sam on Saturday. It was really just an excellent performance. He was 24 for 38, 253 yards, two touchdowns. But I don't even think that really did justice to how good he was, because you have to consider the stats don't always tell you the degree of difficulty of the plays he had to execute. And it felt to me like whenever the Jets were doing something good, it was because Sam was doing something really special, where, you know, he was evading pressure and throwing a ridiculous throw, an accurate throw into a tight window. It was really just, I left this game very excited about the quarterback of the future for the Jets. You know, there are the plays, in the stat sheet where, you know, you dump a screen off to somebody and the guy runs 30 yards and it goes down in your stats as a 30-yard gain. We did not see many of those out of Sam Darnold on Saturday. I mean, it was really Sam Darnold carrying this offense from really the second quarter on. You know, anything that good that happened for the Jets was essentially because Sam Darnold was doing something special. And I think that that's the type, this is exactly what you were looking for. This is exactly what you wanted to see. And to be honest with you, I don't think that there was a huge difference in the performance of the New York Jets on Saturday versus what we've seen the rest of the season, with only really one exception, and that's how Sam Darnold played. Actually, I'd say two exceptions. We'll get to the other one later, but it was a much smaller exception. But really, I think the biggest difference was just how Sam Darnold played, because I didn't think there were many Jets who played particularly well in this game. I think you could probably point to a couple others, but it shows you the importance of the quarterback position, and it shows you the difference a quality quarterback, a potentially high-end quarterback, can make for a football team. Because this Jets team, the way it's been going up till 2 weeks ago, looked like it may have been the worst team in the NFL. Well, that was something I was saying, is that, you know, a couple weeks ago I was saying, you know, the way that these Jets are playing, they might be the worst team in the NFL. You think back to when Sam was out, when McCown was playing, and even when Sam was in there and he was having some of his rookie moments where things were really kind of crumbling around him. What he did on Saturday is he injected hope in a fan base. He injected hope in a franchise, and really beyond that, he showed what he's capable of. He showed the extent to which he's capable of lifting a team. And he may not be able to do that on a week-to-week basis yet, but as the game starts to slow, as he gets more experience, as he, you know, starts to figure the game out, it's the type of thing that we'll start to see more frequently, and it's going to have a big impact on this franchise going forward. You know, they were talking about the NFL Network crew, which was, I mean, that was as poor of a presentation of a game as you'll ever see. And I thought Nate Burleson did a good job. I actually liked the job Nate Burleson did. The presentation of this game was an absolute travesty. They had zero production budget on this. I mean, they didn't spend a dime to give you quality replay angles of anything that happened in this game. It was an embarrassment. The NFL should be embarrassed that they put that product out there on Saturday. But anyway, I digress. I needed to get that rant out of the way. You needed to hear that rant, because I know you feel the same way if you watch that game. So you needed to hear that. But anyway, the guys in the NFL Network crew were talking about, you know, how they had met with Sam, and he had mentioned how the game had started to slow down for him a little bit. You know, the play that really kind of stuck in my mind was the touchdown pass to Andre Roberts, which was the sluggo route where he fakes a slant inside, then breaks back outside deep. And it was just the anticipation with which he threw that ball. It kind of showed me how this game is slowing down for him, because Roberts had barely broken to the outside. You know, he starts the fake to the inside. He had barely broken to the outside when Sam had thrown that football. He was not open at all. It just, Sam saw how the play was going to develop. He was just so locked in that he knew that the corner had taken a false step. There was no way that the corner, because of the leverage he gave up by taking that false step, biting on the fake, there was no way he was going to be able to beat Roberts to the corner. So he just let it go because he knew Roberts was going to be open. And that's the thing that separates, you know, the guys who are really special, is they don't see what's happening. They see what's going to happen in the future. And that throws a perfect example of that. Or, you know, another play is the other touchdown, which was he pretty much, you know, he was running around. He was moving around a little bit. He was running toward the line of scrimmage, then jumped laterally because he had a sense of where the line of scrimmage was. I mean, just the presence of mind in that situation. You know, it was a pretty remarkable performance by Sam, I think. I mean, it seemed like everything that good that happened for the Jets happened because he was doing something special. And, you know, there's a good and a bad to that. We'll talk to the bad about that a little bit in our next segment. But your number one takeaway from this game, I think, and you have to take this, this has to be your takeaway, because it's been such a bad season. There have been so much negativity. You have a big positive to take away from this game from the Jets' perspective, and that is the play of Sam Darnold. So I encourage you, even though the team lost the game, and we'll talk about, there are some negatives to take away as well, but let the number one positive, please, let it be that Sam Darnold really showed you what his future could be. He showed you that he could be a special, special quarterback in the future. And you got a glimpse of that against the Houston Texans.
Whether you're an expert or a rookie, MyBookie allows you to create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit on all three, you could turn $100 into $600. College basketball, college football, NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports, you name it. Sign up this week and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. Also, make sure to follow @BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention in DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks this year in sports. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code LOCKEDON and to get 50% off your deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid.
We spent our first segment talking about the stellar performance of Sam Darnold on Saturday against the Houston Texans, and I mentioned there was one other guy who I thought kind of stood out on offense, and that was Robbie Anderson, who played, it was not his most productive statistical game. It was a solid statistical game. It's not the most productive statistical game you'll ever see, but that's because as a deep ball specialist, when he puts up a big game, you know, it's going to fill up the stat sheet. So it was not a huge, huge game in the box score. He did have a season high 7 catches to go with 96 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, it certainly was a positive game on the box score. But I thought this may have been his best rounded game since he entered the NFL because, you know, he's been a guy who really has just been able to do one thing well, or, you know, one thing. He's been inconsistent doing that one thing because running the deep routes is by its nature littered with inconsistency. You know, it's not going to be something that's there all that frequently. It's not easy to complete deep balls in this league. So if you're a deep ball specialist, you're going to be very feast or famine. Whereas in this game, I saw him start to do things kind of maybe the receiver equivalent of eating your vegetables. They aren't, you know, the most glamorous things in the world, but they're the types of things that make you productive. They're the types of things that sustain you, that build you, that keep you consistent as a wide receiver. And really, for the first time, I saw him starting to do those things, whether it's on a big third down play, taking your route, making sure you take your routes to the sticks. He had a big fourth down catch where he, you know, showed strong hands, caught a ball in traffic, you know, getting your feet down on a sideline throw, which, you know, he's done from time to time. But, and there was one play on the last drive, you know, I think it was the second to last drive, and the Jets were kind of up against the wall. They were down late in the fourth quarter, and there was a kind of a poor throw by Sam that could have been intercepted, and he kind of took on the defensive back roll and knocked it away. Now, he did not come up with one play on a big fourth down later in that drive. There was a ball that hit him in the hands. It was, again, a contested catch he could have made, but, you know, look, I'm not going to hold that against him because there were so many other good things he did in this game that I think, you know, you have to give him credit. I think you have to be pleased with what you saw because this was really the first time I've seen him do these things since he entered the NFL. So, you know, if you're looking for some encouraging thoughts on Robbie Anderson, I think you saw some on Saturday. Now, the negative that I was talking about in the last segment, you know, the negative thing you can take away from what happened on Saturday is that it's also kind of similar to the positive. The positive was that Sam Darnold, whenever the Jets were doing something effectively on offense, it's because Sam Darnold was making plays. Well, there's a catch-22 to that, and that's the fact that it also showed you how barren this team was in talent. And, you know, we talked about the difference between, you know, the difference a quarterback can make, and we saw, and it was pretty clear, the difference between the lifeless team we've seen for so many stretches of this year, especially when McCown was in there. This team just really couldn't do anything against a team that played a really spirited competitive football game and stayed in it till the end and had a shot to win. So listen, that was good, but here's the negative to that. And it's not as, I'm not sure it's something you have to consider. The quarterback played great in this game and the Jets still lost, which kind of shows you the issues this team has in terms of personnel. And yes, on the offensive side of the ball, Quincy Enunwa was out, and yeah, Powell and Crowell were out, but at the same time, I mean, yeah, Powell is good, but what's Enunwa really done since the first month of the season, even when he's been in the lineup? And Crowell has been about as feast or famine as could be. He's now on IR. The Jets placed him on IR at the end of last week, I think probably since we last spoke, since our last show, the Jets placed Crowell on IR, so he's out for the season. So, you know, even among those guys, I mean, Enunwa and Crowell ended up not being huge losses because they weren't all that productive. And, you know, there's no situation in this game where Sam Darnold's just dumping it off to a guy like Pat Mahomes has. You know, Patrick Mahomes can dump it off to Tyreek Hill, let Tyreek Hill run 30 yards with the football. There's none of that. There's too much playmaking burden on Sam Darnold. And that's one of the reasons this Jets team has struggled, is because you can't expect a rookie quarterback to do what Sam did on Saturday every single week. And too much of this playmaking burden, too much of the responsibility is on this rookie quarterback. But beyond that, you know, they have to upgrade the talent around him. You know, the sky is the limit for Sam if the Jets can get some better players around him. But they're just, the players on this team right now just aren't good enough. And, you know, I go back to this. The Jets lost this game with the quarterback playing well. So as much as you can say that the quarterback makes a difference, and heck, I said it in the first segment, so I think it's absolutely true, it's not the only thing that matters. You know, the Jets are going to have to upgrade the pieces around Sam Darnold. You know, you look at the offensive line. I mean, how many times did Sam make a great play when he was scrambling away from pressure, which is, you know, a very encouraging development from the perspective of how Sam's growing as a quarterback. But the other thing is, how many times did he have to run away because the protection was not good? You know, how many times did a receiver outside of Robbie Anderson make a play, get open? You know, how many times was Sam forced to deliver a perfect pass on the run? And again, it's great that Sam can do these things, but it's not good that he was forced to do it over and over and over. It's not good that practically every single time the Jets made a productive offensive play, it was because the quarterback was doing something great. There has to be ways that the Jets can take the playmaking burden off Sam Darnold. And look, this year is gone. There's only two games left. Even if things could change, it wouldn't matter because the season's lost. But it's just been this way for too long this year. This was kind of a microcosm of the season. And again, I don't think that the Jets' performance on the whole was all that different from what we've seen in a typical game this year. I think what you saw from the quarterback was different. So, you know, I didn't come away from this game feeling like the Jets had made huge strides as a team. I felt like the quarterback showed me a lot that encouraged me, but I did not come away from this game feeling a lot better about the Jets' talent base than I did at the start of the game, because, again, like, I can't really come up with a whole lot of guys who I thought played great football in this game. I thought the Jets were kept in the game by the quarterback, and yeah, maybe one or two other guys, but, you know, there were not a ton of great performances in this game for the Jets. So, you know, you think long term, it shows you that the Jets really need, the next couple off seasons are going to be really critical for the Jets, because the Jets are in this period, it's a very important period, where Sam Darnold's on his rookie contract. And the reason that's important is because his contract's going to balloon on his second deal after his rookie deal. So, you know, there's only 3 years left on that. Now, he has what's known as the fifth-year option, which essentially a rookie contract for a player drafted in the first round. The team has an option for the fifth year, but the contract is much more expensive in the fifth year, especially for a quarterback drafted as high as Sam was. And it's not even that much of a discount over what you get in for. It's a discount over what you'd pay in free agency, but it's not a huge discount. It's much higher price. So we're really talking about a three-year window. And the reason that's so important is that, you know, the other teams in the league with veteran franchise quarterbacks may be paying $30 million to get quality quarterback play. You know, if you've got a quarterback on a second or third contract, you may be paying, you know, $20, $25, $30 million. Jets aren't paying that. Jets are going to pay less than $10 million. So you think about that. The Jets are getting a quality quarterback just as like those other teams are. But they also have a lot of additional cap space that those other teams don't have, because the other teams are paying so much more for their quarterback. So the Jets can upgrade other parts of their roster. Well, Jets are going to need to upgrade other parts of their roster, because I think we saw once again in this game on Saturday that the talent level is just not there. I mean, how many balls were dropped that would have been first downs for the Jets? You know, how many big spots? I mean, where are the pieces on this offense that are good? You know, a lot of people are talking Spencer Long up as a guard. I mean, I haven't watched the film yet from Saturday's game. I've not loved what I've seen from Long at guard. I mean, is Trenton Cannon part of the mix? I think maybe conceivably he could be like one of those hybrid type guys who's, you know, not quite a running back, not quite a receiver, but somebody you try and create mismatches with, where maybe you use him in the back, you just use him out of the backfield, and you try and get him in a route against the linebacker. Maybe he can be one of those guys. I don't know. Elijah McGuire, not an impressive game. He had a big fumble that set up a Texans touchdown. So not an impressive game from him. I mean, I just don't think there are many pieces on this offense that you can go forward with. I think we've already talked about how much the offensive line needs to be replaced. And you know, you look at the skill pieces. I mean, I don't know how many pieces this team has on offense, so they need to do a much better job putting a supporting cast around Sam. And again, I think Saturday's game was yet another example of that. The Jets lost on Saturday 29-22 to the Houston Texans at MetLife Stadium. They fall to 4-10 on the 2018 season. Two games left. The Jets, for the third straight year, have lost at least 10 games. You know, not exactly the greatest mark, but it is where we are. We're talking about the game. And now let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. And I mean, I think you got to look at the corners in this game. And I think that they own a lot of the blame for the Jets losing this contest. But not just the corners. I did not understand the Jets' defensive scheme in this game. And I talked about this on the preview show, and I talked about, you know, a matchup between DeAndre Hopkins and Trumaine Johnson. I figured that's where the Jets were going. The Jets don't seem to like to use Trumaine to travel against the other team's best receiver, which, you know, is not exactly a great thing for, you know, if you're making a guy the second highest paid corner in the league, you'd like to think he'd be matched up one on one against the other. He'd be glued to the other team's best guy. But even if they weren't going to do that, you would have thought the Jets would have tried to dictate that matchup. You would have thought, because DeAndre Hopkins is essentially the Texans' passing game. I mean, their passing game runs through him, and they don't really have anybody close to him on the hierarchy. He is the first, second, and third option in that passing game. So don't you think you'd put together some sort of gameplay to try and take him away, whether it's putting your best corner on him at all times, whether it's, you know, double-teaming him, whether it's, you know, figuring out a way to do that? And, I mean, the Jets, for most of the game, were just content to let the Texans pick their matchups. If they wanted to put him against Buster Screen, they'd put Hopkins in the slot. If they wanted him against Johnson, they'd move him to one side. If they wanted him against Claiborne, they'd move him to another side. I mean, the Jets did very little. And one of the few instances where they actually did that, they bracketed him on a big third down play early, and Deshaun Watson was totally fooled, and Deshaun Watson didn't know what to do with the ball, and the Jets were able to sack him. So I just don't understand how you go into that game and you let the Texans dictate the terms of engagement with DeAndre Hopkins. I don't even care. You know, it doesn't matter. That's one of those situations where it's fine to leave other guys if, you know, Demaryius Thomas or one of the other guys on the Texans beat you, so be it. Just make sure Hopkins doesn't beat you. Don't leave Hopkins one-on-one. Don't let the Texans pick their matchup with Hopkins. Double-team him. Put your best corner. Figure out a way to take him away. Because, and force the other guys to beat you. And if the other guys beat you, you tip your cap. I just don't understand what the Jets were doing in this game plan. And it really came back to bite them. Because Hopkins destroyed them in this game. I mean, Hopkins, he had two touchdowns, the game winner, huge, a bunch of big plays on the last drive, 10 catches, 170 yards. It just was brutal. It baffles me the way the Jets approached Hopkins in this game. And I think that, as much as anything, it was what cost them this game. And it was just not a good performance by the corners, especially Claiborne, who just had a brutal last drive, first play of the game-winning drive for Houston. Jets had the lead in the fourth quarter, and the Texans put together a touchdown drive. Drive begins with him getting beaten for a 20-yard gain against Hopkins. Then on a big third down play, he gets called for a holding penalty. And, you know, some of the Jets complained about it in the post-game press. You know, the Jets can complain all they want. That was a blatant hold. You know, Jets can't complain. I mean, geez. You grab a chunk of jersey. You get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. They're going to throw that flag every time. It was a big play because it was a third down incompletion. Texans probably would have had to punt at that point. And they were allowed to extend the drive. And then Claiborne just gets beaten on the last play on the touchdown. And, you know, on the other side, Trumaine Johnson gave up a few catches to Hopkins. And, you know, one of the things I was kind of keying on Trumaine in this game, because he has played better the last couple of weeks. And it bothered me because he was giving up enormous cushions all game long. Even when he was matched up against a running back, he was giving up enormous cushions. And, you know, even though Claiborne was also playing off coverage frequently, it seemed to me like Johnson was dropping deeper, which, you know, it really bugs me because we had the question in a recent mailbag, what would it take for Trumaine Johnson to give you optimism heading into next season? And I wasn't sure there was anything that could happen, but that's the type of, just the way he was playing, his positioning really gave me a lot of pause, because to me that shows he doesn't trust his speed, and it shows that he's afraid he's going to get beat, so he's playing that deep off, which meant that the Texans could go after him and, you know, get an easy completion underneath against him anytime they wanted. You know, the idea of off coverage is not necessarily to prevent, to just hand the other team an easy 5-6 yard completion every time. The idea is to allow the corner to kind of look in and explode to the football. And Johnson was playing too deep to be able to do that, to be able to prevent those nickels and dimes underneath. So, you know, this is something that bugged me, and he did not play well. It wasn't picked on as much as Claiborne was on that last drive, but, you know, the Texans, whenever they wanted to go at him, they could go after him. And this was just, and, you know, you look to that touchdown to Hopkins that lost the game, and he was one-on-one against Claiborne, and, I mean, what more can you say about this secondary? It's been such a this cornerback group, this group of corners who, you know, came into the season, not just, I mean, they were talking themselves. This secondary gave itself a nickname. I still must point that out. This secondary gave itself a nickname. And this group of corners, you know, game on the line, the Jets can't trust the second highest paid corner in the league to go one-on-one against DeAndre Hopkins. And you may blame Todd Bowles for that, for not putting Johnson on him, but at the same time, what's Johnson done this year that really suggests that he's up to that matchup? And Claiborne goes out and gets beat, and the Jets lose the game. So just frustrating group, and that's the position I look at more than any that I blame for this loss for the Jets. And if you're looking for a positive on the defense, I think obviously Henry Anderson, 3 sacks, you know, putting together a solid season, you know, up to, you know, 5 sacks on the year. So that was the one positive on defense. And the Jets did a good job. You know, it seemed like the Jets were rattling Watson a little bit in the second half. Some of their blitzes were getting home. Some of their, you know, schemes were kind of fooling the Texans up front. So in that sense, in the front of the defense, they were doing a pretty good job at times, but in the back of the defense, I did not understand their approach to DeAndre Hopkins, and I think that's where I look on the defensive side of the ball when we talk about reasons the Jets lost this game. Anyway, that's all for today's show. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Monday, and we'll be back again tomorrow. We'll talk some more Jets.